And so, yeah, I have three things that I've learned in South Africa, all right? Three things. Okay, so can everybody lift up one finger? I'm the youth pastor here, so I'm going to keep you guys engaged, right? And if you guys don't move around, you guys are going to get distracted like all my teenagers. So lift up one finger. Number one thing I learned in South Africa, first thing, in no particular order, but number one, is God will truly never leave you. He won't. Yeah, wherever you go, whatever you do, come hell or high water, he's going to be there. I remember when I first flew out here, I came out here in June of 2017, and I got on a plane. It's a weird thing buying a one-way plane ticket. Like, I've only ever flown, like, round trip. You buy a one-way plane ticket, and you kind of get on the plane. You get on this metal tube in one place, and you step off, and you go, well, I guess this is home now, you know? Like, step out into Durban, and I feel the hot, humid air, and I smell the fumes, and I'm like, this is home, I guess, you know? And I remember flying into Durban, and I was with this, I sat next to this South African lady, and we got to talking on the plane, as you do, you know, and just chatting, and I started talking about what I was doing out here, and she's like, yeah, so why are you flying out to South Africa? And I said, I'm not just flying, I'm moving, like, I'm moving to South Africa. And she's like, where are you from? I said, I'm from America. She goes, what? And I said, yeah, no, I'm moving from America to South Africa. And she asked me this really interesting, like, haunting question. Why? You know, and I was like, that's a weird question. What do you mean, why? And she goes, I'm trying to get my family out. I've already sent my kids over to the States. Like, what are you doing leaving the States and coming here? Like, this is not a place where you want to raise your kids. This is not a place where you want to live. You want to get out of this place, not move here. And I thought, well, that's a great introduction to this nation. Thank you very much, lady. You know, I'm really excited now. Thank you. And then when I first got here, it started to get really hard. Like, I didn't know anyone. I am doing something I'd never done before. I had to learn how to drive again because everything's backward and upside down on the underside of the world. And then I got sick and I lost my voice for about like 4 months my first year here. And that was really tough because suddenly I teach in the school and I preach to the youth and I couldn't do that. And I was leading a worship team and I had to step down. And all of, like, your security blankets, all my safety blankets and the things that I was good at and I was used to were all just kind of ripped away. And I was kind of just left alone. And I started to lose weight. I don't have much weight to lose, but I started to lose weight. I started to slip into, like, depression. My family were talking to me on the phone, and they're like, Michael, you should leave. This is not the right place for you. You should come home. What are you doing out there? And I had never in my life felt so alone. And it was just, I felt isolated. My family, everything was just stripped away. But I wasn't alone. I wasn't. And oh man. I was lonely, I was sick, I was exhausted, I was so confused, but God never left, right? It's like when you're in these circumstances where it seems like life is dark and life is hard and you don't understand anything, that doesn't mean God is failing you. Like, some people need to hear that. Like, when you don't understand your circumstances, that doesn't mean God has failed you. Right? He has not failed me, and he stuck with me through it all, right? There's a verse in Psalms 125, verse 2, and it says, just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forever. Oftentimes when it's dark out, when it's nighttime, let's say it's midnight, and you look outside and it's pitch black, and you can look around and you can get so absorbed by your circumstances and your surroundings, and you can begin to think, this is what life is. It's dark, and this is all there is. But then when the light comes up, when the sun rises, you feel like a real dunce forever thinking that the light was never going to come back again. You feel like a real idiot for thinking the sun was never going to rise just because it was dark in the middle of the night. But Lamentations 3, it says, the unfailing love and mercy of the Lord are as sure as the sunrise. unfailing love, unfailing mercy, as sure as the sunrise, as predictable and consistent as the sunrise. Do you guys remember the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years, right? They're walking around in the wilderness, and God delivers them out of Egypt with just incredible signs and wonders. And within just a few months, they're like, we wish we were back in Egypt. God has forgotten us. We hate this food that he's giving us. We're stuck in the desert, led by this crazy guy named Moses, and we want to go back. And it was how quickly the Israelites forgot who God had already shown them he was. Like, have you forgotten who God is? Like, when life is hard, it's like we retreat, and we forget immediately who God was. And he's never failing us. He's never leaving. He's never walking out on us. He hasn't forsaken us. That's a promise. It's a promise in the scriptures that says he will never leave us or forsake us. He's the God who shuts the mouth of the lions. He's the God who joins you in the furnace, right? When life is hard, that's when God is closer, not further away. All right, number one, God will never leave you. All right, guys, number two. Let's see your number twos. Yep, peace signs. Good job, guys. Number two, well done. All right. God wants children and not slaves. In our walk with God, it can be so tempting to try to tick all the boxes, right? Where I prayed today, tick. I worshiped today, tick. I read a couple chapters of my Bible today, tick. I served the church, tick. I gave to the church, tick. I fed a homeless guy, tick. Congratulations, Michael, you are a wonderful Christian. Great job, you're now a follower of Jesus. And it can be so tempting to try to look for a list of requirements of God to have for you and to bring him and say, God, check out my resume. I'm doing amazing. Look at this. But the thing is, God doesn't want slaves. He doesn't want people who are just ticking boxes. He's after your heart. He's really, really after your heart. So often I would come to God and I found that he was brushing aside everything that I would bring to him. I'd be like, God, check it out. I prayed for this guy on the street today, got completely healed. That's a miracle, right? You and me partnering together, that's a miracle. Here you go, God. And I'll bring him a worship set, or I'd have an awesome message, or whatever it was, and he would just continue to brush it aside. And I'm like, God, how come I don't feel fulfilled from all this? And he'd be like, because I want your heart, not the things that you do. I don't want your actions, I want your heart. Because every action flows from a heart position. Every action that you have flows from your heart position. And so he's after your heart. He's not after slaves. We need to stop being concerned with how we're supposed to pray or how much scripture we need to read. And we need to be more concerned with, are we actually bringing God our heart in its all of its crude vulnerability? Like, are we fully connecting with God? I remember I was wondering, had this question I kept on asking God, and I'm like, God, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. God, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Aren't I amazing? I'm so obedient. Yes. And God would continually say, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? He's like, Michael, you have obedience down. Congratulations. Great job. What do you want to do? Because God wasn't interested in me coming and saying, you know, oh, yes, but just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Yes, master, you know. He wants a son. He wants children. He wants sons and daughters, not just slaves. Like, serving God is not bad. Don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that at all. Obedience, it's amazing. But he wants so much more than just brute obedience. We can have a connection with God that is completely all-encompassing and is not just about ticking boxes. I did this, I did this, I did this. He cares about the things you care about. He's an abundantly kind God. All right, that was number two. Number three. Number three, God loves South Africa. Oh. I knew you guys would like that one, yeah. Yeah, he really does. His dreams for South Africa, his dreams for this nation are actually way bigger than your dreams for this nation. I don't know if it's like that lady on the plane. She was like, why are you going to South Africa? This land is, it's just falling apart. Everything's going bad. And I discovered that she wasn't like the only person that had that mentality. I said, like, over and over, I'd be like, hey, how are you doing? My name is Michael. And they'd go, oh, yeah, where are you from? I'm from America. What are you doing here? I moved here to be a youth pastor. Why? It was a common trend. They're like, I'm trying to get out of this place. I'm trying to leave. What are you doing moving here? And I found that there is a common, just a very prevalent mindset in this nation, which was that it's got to, this nation's going bad. It's getting dark out there, man. Whew. And I don't know if it's like a familiarity thing, like you don't realize how awesome your family is because you're just like around them all the time, but, or if you're distracted by the news or stuff like that, but that's not how God sees this nation. God doesn't see this nation as this nation that's, as it's going to hell and it's going to hell fast and get out while you can. That's not it at all. This nation was designed, I was praying about it, and I felt this prophetically, that this nation is designed, and it was created to be a display of the mighty power of God. Mm. You see, South Africa is like a wild stallion, and a lot of people are complaining because the wild stallion isn't tame. And it's like, this nation was never designed, it was never supposed to be this tame, all neat and orderly place. I mean, just look outside. This is Africa still, guys. It's South Africa, but it's still Africa, right? It's like, oh, man. Do you guys know the story of Mount Carmel in the Bible with Elijah? Elijah goes up onto the mountain against he claims to be the only prophet left of the Lord, and 400 other prophets of Baal come, and they have this showdown on Mount Carmel, and it's an epic battle, and they cut an animal in half, right? They have two altars, and Elijah says, we'll both pray to our God separately, and whichever God answers by sending a fireball out of the sky and consuming the altar, that one is the true God. And the 400 prophets of Baal are like, okay, yeah, we can do this. There's 400 of us, only one of you. And he says, okay, game on. And so the 400 prophets start to pray, and they start to like cut their hands and bleed and shout to their God and say, oh, Baal, send down fire, right? And Elijah, it's like he starts to laugh after about 12 hours of this. He starts to laugh and he starts to taunt them like, hey guys, maybe he's falling asleep. Shout a little louder. Maybe your God's on the toilet. And like, this is in the Bible. It's awesome. And nothing happens. And so the Baal prophets all go, all right, Elijah, it didn't work. But you can't do any better. Why don't you give it a shot? And so Elijah comes and he's like, okay, let's make this a little bit harder. And he dumps water over the altar, like big tubs of water, three times, and it's just running down the hill. And then he says, oh Lord, send fire. And fire goes, boom! And all of a sudden, all the prophets of Baal are like running for their lives, right? Mount Carmel, if you look at it, is a battleground. It is a land of stress, but it's also a land of displaying. That area, that mountain, was a place of the mighty hand of God being on display and vanquishing darkness. In order for there to be a glorious victory, there has to be opposition. And so we're in a land in South Africa where there is opposition, there is darkness. You guys have eyes, you guys can see it, but the greater the opposition, the greater the victory. Can you see this land the way that God sees it? Can you see it the way that God sees it? Because he's not here disappointed or frustrated. You need to see it and go, oh my gosh, look at the incredible display of God's power that's going to happen in this land. Because it's going to take an incredible display of power, right? Oh man. Why do you think the enemy is so attacking this country? It's because he's terrified of the untapped potential that this nation has. It's like, do you realize the revelation of God that will happen with all races coming together in unity and worshiping the same creator? Like, holy cow, man. That's going to be epic. So if you're in for the long haul, then buckle up, because it's going to be a wild ride. And you're going to be a part You're going to be a part of one of the greatest moves of God to ever touch the globe. But you got to be in for the long haul. You've got something good here in South Africa, guys. You really do. As an outsider coming in, and as someone who's been here for 2.5 years, I'd say I can say it pretty well. Been around. You've got something really good here. God loves South Africa.